El Shaddai, Jehovah Ra. Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd. So I'm reading from Psalm 23, from a lot of other scriptures actually, but Psalm 23 is where I wanted to start. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your boldness to proclaim it. Give me words, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit anoint me to speak as you'd give me utterance today. Let my words be your words in Jesus' name. Open every heart to receive this morning. We ask for revelation, power and knowledge into people's hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd? In the Bible, you can say it, shepherd, friend, companion. So we can all relate to what a friend is. A friend is somebody we have a relationship with. It's very relational. Yeah, he's a good friend or he's not a good friend. But Jesus is the good shepherd or the good friend. So the Lord is my friend, my shepherd. Mine, it's personal. He's mine. I'm his. Without him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do all things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want, loosely translated, it means I'll not abate or I will advance. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't be in lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Let me get my notes out. Okay. I didn't start where I was going to start. I started in the middle. Okay, so, yeah. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So to know the shepherd, I think Moses said, show me your ways that I may know you. We need to know God, know his ways. Now, David wrote Psalms, or he wrote Psalm 23 anyway. It's good to paint a bit of a backstory with David. David was the runt. He was the ruddy one. And I love reading about David. You know, he's a man after God's own heart. Excuse me. I just want to read from 1 Samuel 17:27. Actually, I'll read from 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to them, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. David was the young shepherd boy. You know, he's the youngest in the family, and he is the runt. He is out in the field taking care of the sheep. And he said, why have you come down here? And whom have you left with those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the evil of your heart. You know, his brother was big. You know, he's tall, he's handsome. And he's thinking David's trying to squeeze in on, you know, his glory. You've come down that you might see battle. David said, what have I done now? Was it not only a word? And he turned from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again at first when the words which David spoke were heard and reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. This is David, the little rudd, speaking to Saul. the king. Now that takes some courage, that takes some boldness. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight against this Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, your servant was a shepherd. He knows what it is to take care of sheep, and he's not ashamed of being a shepherd. For my father's flock, like, he took pride in that. And the lion came and the bear took a lamb from the flock. And I went out after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I took hold of his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, because he has reviled the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. And then you read, this is Saul. Like, jump to 30. Well, actually, before that, Saul tries to kill David 8 times after that. And if we fast forward to 1 Samuel 30, this is an important one I wanted to read. Sorry, it must be 2 Samuel 30. No, I'm in 2 Samuel. It's 1 Samuel 30. So he's in Ziklag, and Ziklag's been burnt, and all the wives, the sons and the daughters, they've been taken captive. They're all alive, but they've been taken captive. And the men, they're distressed. They're like, oh, no, and they're tearing their clothes, and they're wailing to God. We'll just, you know, fast forward down to verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people talked of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in spirit over his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. It is so important to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I just wanted to share. I wasn't going to share this, but I felt God prompting me while we were doing worship. And I'm only sharing this to boast on God. 2 years ago, almost, it'll be 2 years ago on the 29th or 28th of this month, I was in a car accident. And in that car accident, a tree fell on my car. It scalped me. I had to get about 30 stitches in my noggin. It broke my neck between my C5 and C6 and C7. And they had to fuse that back together. Broke my sternum. It fractured my hip. Spiral fracture in my femur up the top and down the bottom. They had to put plates and pins, and my tibia and fibula was fractured. They were talking about amputating. So, you know, I was a mess, and I was in hospital, and I was thinking, this is a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment. God is with me. Like, he's walking through the fiery furnace. So as I was thinking of that, Pastor Peter shared with me this week, Psalm 34, and it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's what we're doing this morning. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me of all my fears. They looked at him and became radiant, and their faces are not ashamed. The poor man cried and heard, the Lord heard and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for the one who fears him will be in need, will not be in need. The young lions are in want and suffer hunger, but the ones who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. And I can honestly say, you know, the moment I was in hospital and I was lying there and I was thinking about Jordan, I was thinking, Jordan's fallen off a cliff and broke his leg. And he's, you know, from what I saw anyway, he remained in joy. And the first words that he said was, come and pray for me. He was expecting a miracle. And I'm like, I can't let Jordan show me up. I've got to do the same thing. So I'm in there, I'm thinking, what did I listen to today? I'm always listening to something in my truck. And I was listening to Who is the Fourth Man in the Fire? And I was thinking, Jesus was with them in the fire. You know, we've got Jesus living in us. If we abide in him and he abides in us, his word abides in us. So I'm just thinking of that, and I was thinking, well, I've got two choices right now. I can go through this in bitterness, or I can go through this in joy. I choose joy. You know, David encouraged himself in the word. He rallied himself in the word. So we'll go back to my first page. So Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. God doesn't just point you in the right path. He walks with you on it. He provides when you're lacking. You know, I've lacked no good thing. Coming through this, I was thinking, how am I going to pay for things? I didn't need to worry about that. That was the first thought that came into my head. And I think I thought on it for maybe, while I was in hospital, maybe 10 minutes. And then I spent the rest of the time in the Word, listening to a lot of Cam songs. He has this YouTube channel where he sings songs, and you know, I just got so excited listening to those. And who's the other guy we listen to? Brendan Lake. Love Brendan Lake. So yeah, he walks with you on it. So God doesn't just point you on the right path, he walks with you on it. He provides when you're lacking. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory. He restored when you're broken. 1 Peter 5:10. After you've suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. You know, since I've walked through this, I've grown in revelation. I've grown in understanding of God's done an amazing work in me, where I've seen, I'm stuck at home and I'm watching Kirsty, and I've had to see a psychologist because of TAC, they made me. I didn't want to go, but I'm glad I did. It was an amazing eye-opener for me, and a lot of men can probably learn something from this, but sitting there, you know, I'm watching a lot of things, and I've gone to my psychologist, and I've gone, oh, I feel for Kirsty. She does so much. Like, you know, I'm incapacitated. I can't do much, and I'm watching her. And my therapist said to me, well, maybe you could start taking some things out of her backpack and put them in your backpack. And I'm like, oh. And I remember I made the comment that, oh, I like to help Kirsty as much as I can. And she said, what do you mean by help? And I said, well, you know, she might be doing the dishes. And I think, well, I can put the stool up there and do the dishes, so I'm helping her do the dishes. And she said, why did you phrase it like you're helping her do the dishes? And I'm like, because she's doing the dishes and I'm coming to help her. And she goes, no, but who put that in her backpack? And I'm like, oh. And she goes, so what's in your backpack? And I went, nothing. So I learned from this, I'm going to put some things in my backpack. And if she has to remind me to do the dishes, it's still in her backpack. I'm like, just remind me. Well, it's still in her backpack if she has to remind me. So I'm learning a lot. Like, I didn't realize I had an empty backpack. Praise God. What did I get up to? God's always speaking. And he can speak through psychologists, even ones you don't want to get on here. he protects you when you're vulnerable. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But all things work together for good for those who love him and accord according to his purpose. You know, this accident, I'm sure that it was meant to kill me. A lot of people were surprised from the first responders that I lived. I wasn't, but they were. And God's protected me, and he's used it in amazing ways for me to help other people in similar situations. You know, just talking about the power of being joyful, positiveness, things like that. So he searches you when you want. He searches for you when you wander. You know, we all like sheep have gone astray. So I think it says in, I forget where I put it now, but I think it was in John 10 somewhere. The sheep was, Jesus was struck, the sheep, the shepherd, and all the sheep went astray. So without Jesus, we all go astray. But with Jesus, I think of Peter, Simon, you know, he's, I will never deny you, Lord. And Jesus said, three times the cock will crow and you will deny me. And he's like, never, because Jesus was with him. He had that strength and that courage and that conviction while the shepherd was with him. But the moment he was taken away, he denied him. And with Jesus, we are weak. But with him, without him, we're weak, sorry. But with him, we are strong. We have that courage, that boldness that Peter had. I'll never deny you. Luke 15:4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country to go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So he searches for you. He leads you safely towards home. Psalm 121:7 says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So what is the shepherd's heart? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 18. I think this describes Jesus' heart for us, and it should be our heart for each other. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and in his love is perfected in us. But we know by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love of God has, believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You know, I love that, because when you read, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow. And that's all fear is. It's just a shadow. Because what do we have? We have eternal life with him. To be dead in this body, in this body, this earth suit, as Pastor Peter likes to call it, is to be present with God. There is nothing to fear. Like death itself, it's lost its sting. It has no power. So John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So verse 1, we've already touched on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Matthew 26:31. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Our God is the God of increase. So through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we can only have increase now in our lives. Psalm 34:9-10 says, fear the Lord, all you his saints, revere and worship him, for there is no want to those who truly revere and worship him with godly fear. There is no want. There is only increase. Sometimes it depends on the lens we look at things through. I remember Felicity Senior shared with me last week. She was getting on a bus and the lady bumped into her. And she was saying sorry. And anyway, long story short, she showed her hand and she had just one finger. It was her left hand, I believe. And Felicity Senior said, baby, did that happen? Like, was that at birth? And she's like, no. And then she said, accident. And she said, no, machete. And then Felicity Senior said, right hand? And she's like, yeah, are you right-handed? She's like, yeah. She goes, you can write? She's like, yeah. You can cook? Yeah. Yeah, I can cook. Praise God, you've got one good hand. It's all about perception. I remember reading about Corrie ten Boom's and her sister was thanking God for the fleas. And she's like, I'll never thank God for the fleas. And when they were talking to the guards, they said, why didn't you ever come into our bunker? And they said, your bunker was the bunker that was flea infested. So they were protected from, you know, a lot of persecution that they could have faced had the guards been able to go into their bunker. So praise God for the fleas. Sometimes we don't know the perspective that God knows, but sometimes we don't understand why we're giving thanks for things. And then it comes later, you're like, that's it. Like when I had my accident, I'm like, I don't know if I like this. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of, you know, I had my moments, didn't I? And little pity parties every now and again. And God ministered so deeply in some of those moments. And I think, yeah, if we change our perspective, we can, you know, sometimes we forget, I forgot I was going to go through this in joy. That's right, I was going to go through this in joy. And then we start singing some songs. The Lewises do a give God 20. We started doing a give God 20. And that's just giving 20 minutes of praise and worship. And that just changes your whole atmosphere. Joe was sharing with me this morning. When she wakes up, the first thing she does is speaks in tongues. And that frames the whole world of her day. Like those first words that come out of her mouth, it's not, oh, I'm tired or I'm sore. It's, you know, speaking in tongues in a heavenly language. So verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To sheep, to lie down in green pastures symbolizes total safety, a place of abundant provision. Still waters run deep. This is describing such a place of such abundance and water-giving life that no drought could ever be a factor. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never thirst again. The water that I will give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, that's no drought's ever going to affect that. I know that we're talking spiritually here, but verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I love this. How does restoration of the soul take place? Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Hebrew word for converting in this verse is shub, S-H-U-B. It's translated restore in this verse. So it is through the word that God restores our soul. If we are thinking about the word, if we're not thinking about the word, we're stunting restoration. But if we're thinking of the word, I love meditating on the word. I've had such fun going through all my scriptures, meditating on the Lord is my shepherd. And the word has just been bubbling up in me. You know, all morning singing songs, I'm like, oh, maybe I should say that. Maybe I should say this. And God's just been pouring into me. And I'm like, I don't know what to share anymore. There's so much. But, you know, we meditate on it. I was thinking about, I think somebody shared, cows have two stomachs. When they eat, they regurgitate and they eat and they regurgitate and they eat and they get every single bit of goodness out of that grass they're chewing. And that's what God wants us to do with his word, to meditate on it. We don't just read it, we meditate on it. We chew it over. Just take one verse and mull it over and mull it over. And you start to see, it starts to come alive. You know, it jumps off the page at you and you're like, that's what that means. And then you do it again and you go, no, it means this. You know, and it gets deeper and deeper on the inside of you. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, thy rod and thy staff. You know, isn't it interesting? The first three verses, when you read them, it's he leads, he restores. It's for his name's sake. But then verse 4, notice it takes a bit of a change. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil for you. It's, now it's personal. It's for you are with me. It's not he or the shepherd. It's you are with me. The first three verses, they paint such an idyllic and calm setting. You think, oh, this is lovely. I love this. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Now we're coming into the nitty-gritty. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is where we need to know God personally, because we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever journeyed through something hard with somebody and it brings you closer? I mean, I love surfing, and I remember going to some gnarly surf breaks with one of my mates. And it was big, and we probably shouldn't have paddled out there. It was a place called Boneyards. Sounds bad, too. It's on the West Coast. And we paddled out.
Is there a clue in the
name? Yeah, definitely. A lot of bones did break it out there. But we're looking from a cliff. This is on the Great Ocean Road. And we're looking from the cliff, and we're going, oh, it's only small. It's only about 4 foot. So we climb down this cliff, and it's about a kilometre paddle before you get to the break. So you're paddling over these dark bits of water, and you're thinking, ooh, wonder if there's any sharks under here. As you get closer, you're like, no, it's more like 6 foot. And then you get closer, you're like, no, I think it's 8 to 10 foot. I don't think we should be out here. But you survive the session, and you get back, and you're talking to your mate that you paddled out there with, and you're laughing about it, you know, oh, did you see that big wave I took off on? And did you see the wipeout that I had, and I'm still alive? And you're like, yeah, it brings you closer. Not that God's out there too, but I was kind of ignoring God at that stage in my life. But yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. It's personal. God's with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 56. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. It's lost its sting. Jesus defeated it. So I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That represents his correction. You know, Satan condemns, God convicts. We have that gentle conviction where God's leading us with his rod and his staff. You know, I imagine the big hook on the end of the stick that the shepherd's got, and he's like, you know, sheep are silly. Isn't it funny that God likens us to sheep? When I think about it, I think, yeah, I am just like a sheep sometimes. And he grabs the staff and he pulls him out of danger. He's like, not over there, you silly sheep. Get over here. And you're like, oh, thank you. Didn't realize there's a cliff there. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, when I was a kid and my nanny used to read that, I'm like, you find comfort in correction? I find it embarrassing. I find it humiliating when people correct me. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten wiser, and I realize I love being corrected. I love being put on the straight and narrow. I love it when somebody says to me, no, you're wrong, because it's more embarrassing to go on thinking you're right and everybody looking at you thinking, what a twit. So, yeah, I find comfort in God's correction now. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. And when people correct me, I don't get embarrassed anymore. But the pastor here, he's so kind. I remember when I first started coming to this church, my inner dialogue was terrible. And he would say things about me, and I'm thinking, he doesn't know. That's not me. He's not talking about me, is he? I don't think he knows me very well. And he'd be saying things, and he said them, and eventually one day it was me, because he saw what God saw in me, and he said what he saw God see in me. He said it, and I'm like, that is me. Oh, I just didn't know it yet. And I think we need to learn to do that to each other too. When we see each other, say, Lord, what are you showing me about David, about Graham, about Judith, about Caitlin? And speak it. Just proclaim it. That was pastor's word, proclaim it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I jumped a few. It's okay. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. God offers total safety, deep honor, and rich care in the middle of danger. The phrase uses an ancient nomad traditions as a host protecting a guest. God treats you as an honored friend, right in front of those who wish you harm. Oil is God's anointing you publicly, honoring you. God overfilling your cup says, we will always have more than enough. Good things, absolute peace when we sit with God. Isn't it amazing how we can go through such hard, turmoil-y, trolley, tribulation-y type things and have so much peace? I remember watching Kirsty thinking she was going to be, I don't know what I was thinking, but what I saw wasn't what I was expecting. I saw this lady come in with peace in the hospital. And I thought, wow, she almost looked angelic. But God equips us to deal with trials and tribulations. Not only does he equip us, but he gives us joy. We can go through it with joy. Joy is where we have strength to go through these things. So I think what I feel like God really wants us to take away from things this morning is God's always speaking. He's the good shepherd, and he's always speaking. I remember Andrew Womack saying that, take a television broadcasting channel. It's broadcasting, and you've got a television set, you turn it on, and it's just snowy. And you're like, oh, I've got the TV. There's no signal. Like, I can't get a signal. You've got to tune it in. You dial it in, and you go, oh, there's channel 10. I've got it. You've dialed in. I think as a child of God, as a born-again believer, we need to dial in our tune, our station to God. And we need to get into a quiet place. And I've noticed that since the accident, more than ever, is I'm easily distracted. I'm like one of those sheep. I can get easily swayed with surfing channels and things like that on my YouTube. And God's like, no, go and find a room, leave your digital device behind, get your Bible, and just start reading and meditating. And remove yourself from noise and distraction. And funny enough, God begins to speak. You begin to hear him. And you're like, oh. And God said, I was always speaking. You just weren't always listening. I just wanted to share, just quickly, Revelation. That's not Revelation. Yeah, God is always speaking. We just need to listen. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 20. He says, listen. Listen. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking. If you haven't let Jesus in, he's knocking. If you're not hearing him, he is knocking. Invite him in. John chapter 10. Then Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am at the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved. That's what Revelation is saying. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and that they may have it to the full or more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, not a good friend, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf catches the sheep, scatters them, and the hired hand runs away because he is a hired hand and he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep and am known by my own. My sheep and am known by my own. I know my sheep and am known by my own. How do we know the shepherd? How do we know his voice? We know it because we read it. We study it. We meditate on it. It's the word of God. We need to meditate on it. And there's a flavor. And we learn it and we go, that's God speaking to us. I just want to finish with this. 7 tests of God's voice. God's voice matches scripture. God never contradicts the Bible. John 10:35. It always brings peace. His voice calms anxiety and brings deep peace. 1 Corinthians 4:33. God's voice encourages purity. He guides you toward clean, honest choices. 2 Corinthians 1:1. God's voice promotes humility. God checks your pride and ego. He certainly did that with me. God's voice fosters love. His direction leads to kindness and forgiveness. 1 John 4:7-21. God's voice demands faith. He often asks you to trust him blindly. Hebrews 11:6. God's voice brings truth. His words always align with the ultimate reality. You know, that's something that many hospital visits, I get many things spoken over me, and you got to be quick to go, I'm not receiving that, because by his stripes I were healed. God's word's the ultimate truth. When we declare God's word as being truth, we're not to be carnally minded. We might look at it and go, yeah, he's got a limp, he's got steel, he's in pain, but that's being carnally minded. To be spiritually minded means I am healed and whole. I can do things now that I couldn't do 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I could do things I couldn't do 2 years ago. It may happen instantly or it may take time. But time produces patience and endurance. And we learn so much in that space. And he corrects, teaches. I've learned about backpacks. Learned that mine was empty. So my challenge is get quiet before God. Make a space where you can hear him, even if it's just 5 minutes, whatever you can spare. I do it in the morning, Kirsty does it at night, and just get real quiet before God and ask him to, well, you don't have to ask, he's always speaking. I mean, I go outside some days I've got two dogs now, and I see God, we have cockies and kookaburras and things that fly over, and I see God in that. I hear God in that quiet space. Yeah. So my challenge is get quiet, hear God, meditate on his word. Don't just read it, meditate on it, chew it over. I remember Mark Hankins sharing, you got to speak to your men. And God said to him, he wasn't speaking to his mountain. And God said, how do I get Mark to speak to his mountain? He's like, so God said, if only you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you'd move your mountain, you'd speak to it. You know, like David, he didn't run at Goliath silently. He ran at Goliath speaking. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? You know, he ran at him with his mouth open, speaking God and proclaiming God's word. We need to speak to our mountain. But yeah, Mark 11:24, that's a wonderful verse to meditate on, to mull over and chew on. And, you know, I've been doing it for a few years now, and I still get a deeper revelation every time I read it. God's word, it's alive and it's so deep. We'll never exhaust what's in here in our lifetimes. So yeah, meditate on God's word. Get quiet before God. You know, he wants to be the shepherd of your life. He wants to lead you. You know, it's when we walk out from under that covering, like I did. God was trying to protect me, and I ignored him. And that's why the tree fell on me. And I realized that. And God protected me from dying. Not that, like Paul often talks about, you know, he wrestled with God. He's like, oh, I want to go. And God's like, I've got more work for you to do down here. Yeah, my challenge is get quiet with God. Meditate. Let God minister to you. Let him lead you, guide you. Do it every day. Every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, that's achievable. And then build on that. He's a loving God. He's a good, good God. Praise you, Lord.